For those of you, if you happen to be new this morning, today is it's a different day. It's a little special that we're going to do for the anniversary service in particular. And so I'm going to go through. I'll just warn you, it's a little bit longer than usual. Not too much, but I'll try to go through it. And then also, it is kind of the one service out of the decade when I'm going to talk about reasons for going to church. Okay, I usually don't. God works on hearts, and I like to let Him have His way in people's lives as far as ministering unto them and prompting people to go to church and do those things. And I believe He does that on a regular basis. But this morning, I'm going to give you actually some reasons for coming to church. And so let's get started. Start by praying. Father God, we praise You this morning. Father, I'm excited to be here this morning and just to be a part of what You're doing. I pray that, Father, as we look at Your word this morning, as we go through and just talk about what You've done here in Rollins and in our personal lives and in my life as a pastor, my family's life, Lord, that You just use it to just instill a hope and an excitement in the people that are here this morning and those that listen online, Lord, that, Father, that we all grow and flourish in our walk with You and that we leave with a little bit of a prompting or a little encouragement, a little more faith even, or an expansion of our faith, Lord, that we have towards You already. And I praise You for it. We thank You for it. Anoint Your word today. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So for a guy like me to share, what's up? Technical glitches, you gotta love them. Amen. We had one last night. I was putting things together, and we do the PowerPoint slides and all that stuff, and I've been working on it for I don't know how long, and a long time. You'd be surprised how long it takes me to do all that. I'm getting it all together, and all of a sudden my computer freezes up, and it would not let me do anything, and ended up having to shut it down and reboot it twice, because each time it would come up and it would say, sorry, unable to open PowerPoint. And then I went and I thought, well, let's make sure my sermon's all right, and I went in there and whatever, it was gone, and it would not open that up either. But eventually, enough prayer, and turned it over to God, and next time I turned it back off and on, all of a sudden it comes back. So, but we did have some glitches with it, so I don't know if we're going to have slides for this morning or not. So, and that would be last week's scriptures in there. So, but it'll take me a little bit to get to some point where we need the slides anyway. So close your eyes and listen. Okay, don't watch this stuff. Let me just start. As a pastor, for a guy like me to talk about church, okay, to share on it, to preach or to teach about the church, it has a potential to get pretty passionate. Okay, for me, going to church is not optional. Okay, it's not something I can wake up one Sunday and decide, well, I just don't feel like it today. Okay, it's also not just something that I've added into my life just to get through a tough time in life. I'm beyond that, okay? It is also not just some small addition that we have as a family tacked onto our busy schedules to kind of enhance our family dynamics or added to our list of good deeds to do every week. For us, church has gone beyond that. For me and my family, the church as a whole and the bride of Christ as a whole, and this portion of her bride, of this portion of her body, right here at the Oasis Church of Rollins, this represents the majority of our Christian life as believers. Okay, it consumes. Somebody made comment even this morning that we were talking about, you know, listening to songs in our discussion at breakfast, and they're like, you talk about the worship team, you know, worship songs at breakfast? Yeah, it's 24 hours a day. It's a constant thing that we do. In fact, I think I can honestly say that not one day has gone by, okay, 365 days a year for 10 years, that this church has not been prayed for, okay, has not been thought about, talked about, worked on, worked for, or spent time with. That's just the way our lives are. And for me as a pastor, then, it's not just me. You know, my wife and I are one flesh, so it's all together. Okay, my family feels, I know even Leon lives with us, and we all feel it together. Okay, and the church itself plays an extremely important role in our life. Okay, and I hope in our prayer is that your lives are touched in some positive way as well. Okay, that your faith toward God is built, like we talked about the last couple of weeks, that powerful element of fellowship between the bride of Christ and our Lord happens on a regular basis, that is consistently taking place in your life. With the church meaning so much to me, and you could tell even as my wife shared a little bit this morning how much it means to her, I just want to ask you right now, forgive me if I get a little emotional sharing about some of the memories and things that have happened. Even just this past week. Okay, we had put the word out that we would like to do a little bit of work on the sanctuary. Okay, we wanted to paint some walls. We wanted to, you know, spruce things up a little bit and get things kind of organized. And I was hoping that at least the leadership team, okay, there's a handful of people, and I was hoping that at least the leadership team would show up and that we could get a good start on it. And then I just figured, as we've done, that whatever didn't get done that day, that I would just drag my family down every day during the week and work on it until we got it done so we'd be ready by today. Okay, I just kind of thought that that's probably the way it was going to go. When something is as important to you as this church is to me, okay, sometimes you start thinking that you're the only one that feels that way. Okay, that nobody else sees it in that light, that it's just not that important to them. As a pastor, of course, you hope that everybody is passionate about their church, but you just know the reality is that it hasn't found that high place of priority in every person's life. Well, this past Monday, when we set aside a day to do a little painting, some of the people that couldn't be here ended up offering to support the endeavor financially, and they paid for every can of paint, all the supplies, all the food, and everything that it needed to be done, and then some. Okay, that was, they couldn't be here, so they did that. We ended up having so many people that showed up on Monday that the entire project, where every wall in the sanctuary was painted, an entire nether room was transformed from start to finish, was all completed in less than 5 hours. Okay, the leadership team, they stuck it out to the end, but as we got about 4.5 hours in, we were sitting in the chairs staring and just admiring what had just happened. It was just miraculous in my mind. In fact, as I was hauling the ladders out to the truck, hauling them out the door and putting them in the back of the truck, I got a little teary-eyed, kind of choked up because I was thinking about what had just happened. And my wife came out to put something in the truck, and I just kind of mumbled, "I sure am feeling humbled right now." And I didn't have to explain one tiny bit about what I was talking about. She knew exactly what I meant, and she just said, "Yeah, me too. It's pretty amazing what just happened." It was just God speaking to us. And throughout, we're at 25 years of ministry for me right now, and I've desired to see people come to know and to understand their roles in the church and the value and the role of their church in their life, that benefit for them and their walk with God. And I believe that in a 5-hour-long message from God to me, that he said, "Gary, people do care about their church." Okay, you know, Hebrews 10:24 says that we should let us consider one another. Did we get scriptures? We don't have them? Wow. Okay. I can ad lib, right? So, you got Bibles. Amen. If you got a Bible, it's Hebrews 10:24 and 10:25. Okay, some often used scriptures when it comes to talking about the church itself and our reason for assembling together. Hebrews 10:24. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. You know, over the years, I have heard many times about people that used to go to church. Okay, but, you know, something happened in their life. Okay, life changed. They got married. They got a new job. Maybe they got hurt by a church or a ministry or whatever. And every time that I hear something like that, my heart just aches. Because I know the incredible value of doing life together with the body of Christ. Okay, I learned long ago how Satan goes about using people and using circumstances to disappoint Christians, to pull them away from the very people that God would use to bless them and teach them and encourage them through their church. There are people that are not here this morning for that very reason. But just recognizing what the enemy's schemes are and understanding that that's what he tries to do, it really doesn't ease that sorrow in my heart at all. Okay, and I don't think it would for any pastor. It still hurts when people fall away. You know, going to the church isn't about getting an attendance sticker. Anybody get your sticker this morning? No. Don't give out stickers for attendance. That's not what going to church is about. Okay. And it's also not about just trying to gain God's favor for the week, you know, by doing that one thing, assembling with his people so that God will bless you that week. You know, church is really not a place to go, but rather it is a living body. It is a living family, okay, that God is wanting to use and have you be a part of for your good and his glory. Okay, God is going to shine through it. Now, I had for this morning, I came up with 10 different points. I know it sounds like a lot, but it was 10 years, okay? Okay, so I'm thinking 10 points. Okay, we can do this. Some of them will go pretty quick, but there are actually 10 different reasons to go to church. 10 reasons to become a part of a family in Christ. Okay, and the first one is basically to hear the preaching of the Word. Okay, Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Okay, the Word of God is powerful. Okay, and hearing the preaching of Scripture is vital to our spiritual well-being. Okay, it is how sins are exposed. Okay, we don't like sins, but sometimes they get exposed by a good preaching. Okay, it is how sinners come to repentance, how they turn away from that and get on a different track. The preaching of the Word encourages those that are heavy-hearted. Okay, and it inspires God's servants, those servants of the Lord, to actually fulfill their role and their calling in Christ. The Scriptures tell us of themselves that they are a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In other words, they're going to light up that narrow road that God wants you to walk on, saying this is the best way. Okay, and he will light that up through the preaching of the Word. Number two, there's a good reason to go to church. Your church is where you participate in corporate worship. Okay? Now, worshiping the Lord by yourself, I've had some of the most powerful times in my life. Not the most, but some of the most powerful times in my life worshiping alone with God. That's honest. But there is no substitute for corporate worship. Okay? Whether it's getting together with 40,000 other believers after a Faith Day at the Rockies game, and you're worshiping with Jeremy Camp or Lincoln Brewster or whoever it is. Kerry Job last year was awesome. Okay, there is no substitute for that with 40,000 people or 40 people that are your immediate family in Christ that you get to worship with on a regular basis. There's something special about those kind of moments that God will use them in your life for His glory. All too often, people, sometimes they think of worship as kind of an emotional thing that we got to go and know that we've spent time with God. And some people will flock to churches that kind of help them muster up those feelings. Okay, and I've been there. I'm not putting anybody down if you do that, because I've been there. I know what it means to jump from church to church looking for that new, you know, great emotional experience. But sometimes if the church doesn't continue to create that environment, maybe they have an off Sunday, or maybe they have a guest band or whatever it is, and sometimes people move on and they find another church, or even worse yet, they just stop going to church because they didn't like the worship anymore. Okay, well, the Holy Spirit causes true worshipers of God to actually long to come together to be with other believers to adore Christ. Okay, the Spirit of God in you should stir up a desire to worship God with other believers, both privately and corporately. Okay, number three, we go to church because iron sharpens iron. Ever read that? It's Proverbs, I think, 27:17. Okay, it tells us that meeting regularly with other believers is not only a source of encouragement and strength, but you have to know this, that when iron rubs against iron, sometimes it causes sparks. Okay, and sometimes that happens even within the body of Christ. Okay, iron sharpening iron. It's a necessary part of the process that you simply can't get at home in front of a TV. Okay, you won't get that. Okay, just because you have a little tiff with somebody in church, though, it doesn't mean that you're not where God wants you to be. Okay, how many of you, and I don't raise your hand to this because this would really get me in trouble, but how many of you have ever had a little disagreement with me? Okay, many over the years. Okay, 10 years of doing this. Okay, and yet many of you are still here. Okay, the ones that saw that or used that as their out aren't here. Okay. And my wife reminded me of something this weekend as we were praying and talking about things. And the love that manifests in a church and in believers in a community of Christ and a family, that love is what gets you through those moments. Because you care about that person enough that you want to get through that moment. You don't want to be at odds with them. You don't want to stay in that tense spot. You want to get past it. Okay, and you know the scripture is going to point you to forgiveness and love and all these things, so might as well do it and just get in with that and allow God to do that work. Okay, working alongside of other Christians in fellowship, okay, is an important way to grow your love for God and for others. Okay, but it's also God's way of showing you some of the areas in your life He might want you to mature in. Okay, and I'll just give an example. This is somebody from years ago that's not even in the state anymore. But one time we went to do something together. We were working side by side in a project, and it had to do with somebody else's property. And I was just in, or I backed it up. This other guy, he was a Christian brother, but he says, oh, let's just leave it. And I was like, no, I can't. It's not my property. I was responsible for their property. And I said, I can't just not do what I know I'm supposed to do. And at first, the guy got kind of upset about it. Okay, like, well, what's the big deal? It's not that big a deal. It's just, you know, junk. And I said, no, I can't do that. Okay, well, an hour later, we have conversation. And he comes and says, you know what? You were right. I never saw that before. I never thought of it that way before, that was somebody else's property that you were responsible for. And so it had that moment. That was a teaching moment that just came up. And I didn't quit loving the guy or look down on him or anything. He just had never experienced that kind of fellowship side by side working with somebody that was going to try to do the right thing. Okay, and it ministered unto that person, and it changed his life. Okay, if you've ever considered quitting going to church just simply because people hurt you or you got offended, maybe people didn't measure up to your expectations, okay, sometimes there's even some hypocritical people in the church, okay, know that if you get to that point, that the enemy has you right where he wants you. Okay, his plan and his goal, Satan's tactic, is to divide and conquer. Okay, and if he can divide you from your fellowship, divide you from your brothers and sisters in Christ, that's where you're going to find the fellowship. I'll get to that in a minute. But that's where you're going to find the strength to be able to get through some things. But if he can pull you away, okay, you're going to become vulnerable. You'll be vulnerable to his deceptions and his attacks. Okay, Satan will use that lack of love and forgiveness towards God's people to sort of quench your love for him. Okay, that's a long number three. But number four, okay, we go to church to exercise our spiritual gifts. Okay, and everybody in here has been gifted by God, supernaturally gifted to accomplish some certain things for God's glory and His kingdom. Okay, it's a bigger picture. Okay, from preaching to encouraging, hospitality, administration. Okay, God equips his children to be able to serve the body of Christ and to serve Christ himself. And when a church body is healthy, then the members realize that they're part of a congregation not only to receive, but also to be a blessing to the people they're around. Okay? Statistics are pretty accurate when they show that in most churches, this is pretty true, about 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Okay, just a handful of people getting things done. And I don't want to guilt you into getting involved, use your gifts for God's glory, serve the church, but I'm hoping to inspire you. Okay, I'm hoping that it kind of helps you to understand that there is a need. Okay, imagine God has supernaturally gifted you so that you can glorify him as he works through your life. Okay, many people see what happens at the church and they think, well, they really don't need me. Okay, but please don't be fooled. Even something like this service this morning and getting everything together, I guarantee you there was people besides my wife and I that lost sleep, that are wore out, that got stressed because there's more things to do than there was time in a day, right? And just, we were here at 9:15 the other night, and I'm still working away on stuff. It's just the way, because there's so much stuff that has to be done to make this happen. And even then, we have glitches, okay, where we don't get the slides and things like that. It's just a matter of there being so much to do. Okay, Jesus said in his day that the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Okay, and when you put your gifts into service and you start serving and realize that, wow, there's a place that I can help out here too, okay, you're actually answering a prayer that somebody prayed for God to send laborers to do the work. Okay, because you're helping and alleviating and getting involved. Okay, number five. Okay, I won't say this is my favorite one, but it has to do with the pastor. Okay, we go to church to encourage your pastor. Okay, as a pastor, the scripture charges me with the care of your soul. Imagine that. Some of you guys got families, most of us. And so you can realize being in charge of the care, you know, you're trying to raise somebody up. Okay, as a pastor, you're charged with the care of the soul of the flock. Okay, Hebrews 13:17 makes that point. Hebrews 13:17. It says to obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Hebrews 13:17. Okay, as a shepherd, I'm going to have to give an account to God for your soul. Okay, that scripture that I referred to in Hebrews 13:17, that scripture is really referring to people that were being difficult to shepherd, okay, to say it nicely. Okay. And he was saying that it was unprofitable for them. Okay. The root of the passage means that if you are difficult to shepherd, okay, uncooperative, argumentative, negligent, complacent, or even simply non-existent, it doesn't benefit you in any way. Okay? It doesn't. I lost sleep this week over confrontation with somebody. They're not here, so none of you guys. But that happens. Okay? And it's not profitable for that person, for me and my family, and not for you guys either. I feel bad for that because I think some of this stuff, even this sermon, part of it got influenced by that. Okay? Not in a bad way necessarily, because believe me, I prayed and took it to God over and over again to make sure you get what you need this morning. Okay, but I know that the devil was wanting to use that offense in my heart. Okay, and wanted to use that to alter what I was. He wanted me to beat the sheep. Because I'll tell you, some of that stuff makes you pretty frustrated. And that's what this is saying. Don't let it be unjoyful for people that you work with in ministry. Okay, the opposite is also true of that, that when you're a joy to shepherd, and that's honest, I believe that we have such a fluent, joyful flock to be able to work with, that it's also a tremendous benefit, not only to you and to your pastor, but also to the whole church family. Okay, and let me just clarify something, because I am not talking about problems. You come to me with problems, I'll deal with it all day long. I am a problem fixer. Okay? That's what, and I'll point you to the scriptures. I'll help you. I love that. In fact, I love it if you come more to me with issues and problems. It's the argumentative. It's the stuff that is offensive. It's when pride is risen up and somebody is cutting down. Okay, those kind of things, that's what's unprofitable. It doesn't help. Okay, if I'm not where you think I should be, pray for me, right? It's not an easy job. Okay, when we become partners in ministry, then it's something that can bring joy to my heart. It's something I thank God joyfully for you, your faithful service to Christ. And know that when you're not here, okay, this isn't a guilt statement, I'm just being straightforward. When you're not here, I notice every time. Not one Sunday goes by that I don't have a mental thought of who was there and who wasn't. The worship team notices. We feel it. We practice. We get together and practice and worship and prepare and, you know, fret about songs and change things and, you know, put a lot of time into it. And then we come and we notice when people aren't there. Okay, the other people as well, the leadership team I'm going to tell you about in a minute, they notice, okay, because I've taught them to notice, okay? We notice when people aren't there. They probably did it before I even said anything to them. The people that usually sit behind you notice, okay? Some of you are in the same seat you were last week and 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, but if you're not there, people notice, okay? People sitting next to you, people sit around you, they notice, all because you're a valuable part of the body. And if you're not here, then it's felt throughout the body. Okay, number six. I better move along here. We'll be here all day. I just make sure you guys are good and hungry. That's what I'm doing. So just. And number six, your church is where mentoring takes place. Okay, and one article I was reading on this said this, it's a place where you can be mentored. Okay, and I've taken that to say, no, it's where mentoring takes place, where you are going to go and you are going to share your gifts and talents and experiences and all the things that you have passed a point in life and be able to share that with others. But there's also somebody probably sitting around the room that has been past a point that you haven't been past yet, and that their advice, their help, their willingness to allow you to learn from their mistakes can help you as well. Okay, God is going to use you and your Christian life hacks. Anybody like that word? That's the new thing right now, life hacks. Okay, but God will use you and your life hacks, your Christian life hacks. How did you make it through that time in life? And He'll use that to help somebody else. Number seven. And this one, if it doesn't quite apply to you, I'm sure it has or will at some point. But number seven is you go to church to teach your kids to love the church. Amen. Okay, we have generations. It's, oh man, is it grieving to look at what's happening in the body of Christ right now when it comes to church and people going to church and what's happening. People are falling away in droves from the church. Okay, if you want to teach your kids to love God, they need to see you love God. Okay, it's pretty straight. Okay, if you want them to learn to love God's people, they need to have the opportunity to observe you loving God's people. Okay, in Luke chapter 6, it talks about the student. Jesus said the student will become like his teacher. Okay, now if you notice, Jesus didn't say that the student will become as the teacher teaches him to be. The student will become like his teacher. Okay, and there's a pretty good book out. I forget, I think it's Charles Barkley, maybe. Not Charles Barkley. That's a basketball player, right? It's not Charles then. It's got to be a Barkley. But anyway, it's a pretty good book, and it's called, just the title of it is called How to Relate to Your Pastor. Okay, I recommend for anybody that goes to church, you need to read that book. It is powerful. Okay, but one of the main points in it is that it teaches the art of observation. Okay, when people are, you know, we're supposed to be as pastors, we're supposed to live right. Okay, and I pray, work on it, try to live right so that we're an example. But the idea is that people are supposed to observe, okay, to watch the mannerisms, to watch the habits, to watch the interactions with other people, and then even without even trying, people start acting that way. They start doing those things. Okay, if you watch best friends hang out, okay, it happens a lot in that. If you watch how kids, and I think that is a pretty good explanation of why kids are so often found to sound, dress, act, okay, a whole lot like their parents. Okay, what is important to you will be important to your children. Okay, that's that number seven. Number eight. Okay, number eight is to be, we go to church to be a light to your community. Okay, to be a light to your community. Okay, Jesus said in John 13:34, he said, "A new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. For by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another." Okay, the world will know that we are his disciples by our love that we have for each other. So, of course, Satan wants to destroy any sense of love and community within the body of Christ. Okay, that would be a target. When you commit to loving God and loving others, then the light shining from your Christ-honoring love, okay, will emanate out through the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit can use that to help draw other people unto Jesus. Okay, now I had some slides I wanted to bring up this morning, but one of them is on the mission of the church. Okay, and it is to love God, love others, and change your world. Okay, very simple. And as a church, we added to it a little bit more than that, so it goes beyond and it says, love and be loved by God. Okay. Love and be loved by others, and then change your world. Okay, now I mentioned that this morning because there is a process that this church is doing, and I hope to encourage those, if you've been a part of it and if you haven't been, that you'll see that we're in motion. We're moving forward with something that is going to impact our community in a powerful way, okay, for Jesus. That simple church process, okay, and it's kind of a simple church method or a process. It's not like a, you know, cookie cutter thing because it's always shaping and being changed. But that simple church process for making disciples, in fact, I think it used to be hanging up back there. I think it still is. There's a little flyer back there that explains the simple church process of making disciples. Okay, it's basically three steps. Okay, but that simple church process for making disciples that we envision starts right here with Sunday morning worship. Okay, this is what, you know, it's like the flagship. This is the one where it really begins for people. This is where we love and be loved by God. Okay? And then every single week, you're going to be encouraged and invited to the second step, which is getting involved in the smaller groups, okay, the more intimate groups, because we're growing, we're getting to the point, it's hard to know everybody, and it's going to keep getting more so, okay, but as we invite people to those smaller groups, the things like the youth group, okay, that's a great example, Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, okay, the ladies' tea, that's that smaller fellowship, the men's breakfast. Those are all things that are part of that more intimate love and be loved by others. Okay? And then from there, those groups formulate a plan to reach beyond the walls of the church. Okay? And it doesn't have to be some, you know, strategic, we're going to write it all out and this is what we're going to do. What happens is that those smaller groups get together, they start to fellowship, somebody shares a need, somebody else says, well, I can help with that. Next thing you know, they're out meeting a need in a community. Okay, it's called organic reaching your people, okay, reaching the people around you. Okay, well, if it is a little bit more formal, and in some senses it is, it's things like our youth group hosting a community movie night, okay, where the public is invited to come into an environment where people outside the church will be invited and encouraged to participate in the first step. Oh, do you have a church anywhere? And it's simple at that point to say, you should come check out the Oasis on Sunday at 10:30. Okay, you get them into that first step, they'll get into the second step because they'll keep getting invited, okay, and then we move on to the next. Sometimes we use the talents that God has placed within the body. We started the painting classes a while back. Some of you have heard or seen of those. Okay, they're a community-wide outreach. They're a place where people can be personally invited to the first step. Okay, not in a bad way. We're not going to hurt anybody. You come into church, I'm telling you all the great things about church, right? It's not going to hurt anybody. You're inviting somebody to that. Okay, the church as a whole is undergoing this process of becoming a more strategic vessel of godly change in our community. Okay, it's not something that happens overnight. And some of the groups, you know, the men's group, we get together. We had an influence on the cafe we were in last time we were there. We're talking about raising people from the dead at our table. Okay, and it drew the attention of other people in the room. And I know we made an influence on that cafe that day. Okay, so maybe we didn't plan it. Okay, and it wasn't something we strategically tried to do, but it happened. Okay, and that's what those groups do. That's why we encourage you to get involved in those. Okay, well, about 2 years ago, we formed something we call the Oasis Leadership Team. Okay, it is simply put, it came because in order to do the things that I know that God wants us to do in our community, I can't do it by myself. Okay, and my family, my wife and I can't do it by ourselves. And so God said we need to create and draw in people that will help to get things done. Okay, and we needed to do that in order to be able to fulfill the commission of the church that God has laid on our heart. Okay, so we started by pulling in just some of the roles that made sense. Okay, the pastor's there, the worship leader, the youth leader. Okay, we have communications, kind of media type person, kind of techie person. Okay, and then some other outreach type people that are good and social and inviting people and being a part of that. Okay, those kind of people. And now, just the last meeting, we had my son come because he's this guy, right? Okay, and that's a huge role in churches. It's actually a job. If you go to Karen's Bible College in Colorado, that is one of the avenues that they teach you is media. Okay, the media technical side of running church services. Okay, because it's such a huge industry right now. Okay, so that team, I need to stick with this. We'll be here till 2 or 3 or 4, maybe noon. Okay, that team is itself is learning the culture of growth. Okay, it's learning to have this attitude of growth and to be able to reach out and touch people's lives. And so that culture of growth is first beginning within that team, but it's slowly and strategically, okay, being infused to excite other people to get on board with it. What you see this morning is a product of that team. Okay, this is something that, you know what? We should do a service, especially about the 10 years and spruce up the church. That team came up with that, okay, to help as something to stir a little excitement, something else that would be able to help with the growth mentality and the whole rest of the body. When people are excited about their church, they invite people to church. Okay, it's a proven fact. There's no way around that. When you're excited about Jesus, some of you remember, okay, if you're not right now, you were at one time probably. I was on fire when I first got saved. I mean, you couldn't have a conversation for 10 seconds without me talking to you about Jesus and asking where you're at. And I'm not saying I'm not on fire. I'm just maybe a little more laid back about it right now than I have been. More mature in the way I do it. I offended a lot of people too, but. Things like the anniversary service, okay, the new paint, the things that you see, the youth movie nights, the painting classes, all of those are products of that leadership team. Okay, and getting to where we want to be as far as expanding the kingdom of God, okay, raising up an army of devoted Christian believers and disciples to positively impact our community, okay, is going to take more than we currently have on that team. Okay, and that's why I'm sharing. I'm not saying, you know, oh, you should look up to these people. No, you should want to be one of those people. They are the changers, the movers and shakers. They're the ones that are going to be getting things done, and that's what I'm trying to hopefully encourage people to get involved with. Okay, now that reaching our community is going to come to pass more as that leadership team is expanded. Okay, more committed believers, people that see and knowledge and understand their role within the body. Okay, and we're going to talk about that if you're up for it. A series in the next few weeks is going to be specifically on the different roles that we can play within a church or that we have within the church. Okay, number 9. Okay, we come to church to bear one another's burdens. I know some of us got enough problems of our own, right? Why would I want to go bear somebody else's? But it often helps you to help somebody else. That's just a proven fact. Okay, Galatians chapter 6 teaches us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, because life can be hard sometimes, right? Life's not always peachy. Okay, it's not always this great fun time. Okay, in a moment, everything can change. It could be just one phone call. One phone call, one diagnosis, one accident, okay, one mistake, a myriad of other mishaps can turn your life upside down. And at times it can make you feel like you're pretty alone. Okay, but I believe that those who are a part of and understand the dynamics of their church family, okay, they never really feel alone. When life is going great, they have the affirmation of others. But when life throws you a curveball, you automatically know that you have other people that are standing with you, that are going to go through it with you. They're going to pray with you. They're going to be there. They're going to help you. Okay. When my transmission went out in my Blazer, okay, it burned up. It was about 5, 6, 7 miles outside of town. Left me and my son stranded. Okay, that was, you guys remember the story. It started on fire and put it out with Gatorade, and it was a big ordeal, right? Okay, well, it left us stranded outside of town, several miles outside of town. And the first thing I did is get the old phone out and start calling my church family. Who can come and help me? Okay, and I think within 30 minutes, Keith was there with his truck to help pull me into town. Okay, when I went to go get a new transmission for it, there was a guy in Wheatland that had one, and I kind of put the word out if anybody wanted to volunteer to come help me lift it in and out and do that stuff. And Warren, yeah, I'll go with you. Okay, and so Sunday afternoon, we made a trip to Wheatland to go get a new transmission. Okay, when those guys, when Warren and his wife were first moving, getting into a house, Warren got into a house here in town, and he had no furniture. He was living in a little efficiency kind of apartment and didn't have the stuff that he needed. So I put the word out, and you guys, many of you know Big Bill, okay, Cowboy Bill. He gave them thousands of dollars worth of furniture to be able to furnish their house. Okay, and then when they're, you know, Brittany was coming and moving here from Tennessee to be with Warren, and they didn't have, you know, Warren didn't have, he's a bachelor, okay, he was cooking on a little pad thing or whatever, and, you know, we put the word out, and the next Bible study, they had a whole, these chairs back here were just full of stuff that people brought, okay, for furnish their house and appliances and things to be able to make his house a home for when she came. Okay, I know that Jacob's not here this morning, but when he bought a new house over on Southside, it needed paint, and he shared that one night at Bible study. Didn't take very long, and I think Pam was over there painting it. Mason had some surgery, and her life was going to be laid up for a while. I think Regina and some other people made meals and took it over there to make sure that their life was a little easier for a while. I think when Chris and Regina, I'm just remembering, but when you guys were moving, it was guys from the church showed up with their pickup trucks. And let's get this done. Let's see if we can help them out. Amen. I know that when Emily needs someone to watch the kids, she's got to go to the airport or do something else. There's many people that will step up and volunteer to watch those kids. Right? It's just kind of that family. Many, many times, people have helped others in the church. Okay? Both physically and financially. Okay? As soon as they see a need or they know about it. Okay? Someone has blessed my family again this week, and I tell you, if they only knew, and I don't know who it is exactly, but if they only knew how much it blesses our family when people do things like that. I mean, no, I do a sideline business cutting wood. Guess what? There's no wood right now. The wood that we go to get in Saratoga is all green. There's nothing to sell. And so it just has gotten that much harder, so that sideline business isn't there. And so when someone blesses us financially, it's like, praise God. They didn't know how we were going to get through it, but now we do. Okay? Now, I could go on and on. I already mentioned how blessed my wife and I were with the people that came and helped and painted and did all the things this last week. I can go on and on and on. We come to church in part to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Okay? When things are going well for us, and even sometimes when they're not, we're also going to still be there for someone else to help them in their time of need. Okay, number 10, last one. We go to church because going to church is not optional. I shared in the beginning, and I started the conversation by saying, for me and my family, going to church is not an option. And it's really never was meant to be. And this one's going to hit home, I'll just be honest. It's going to hit home. Hebrews 10:24, we read earlier, said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Realize that God wanting you to regularly attend church is for your good. It's what he intended. Okay, he wants you, he wants his people to exhort one another, especially as the days grow darker. Okay, I was so disappointed to drive by and see someone write profanity on some paintings that were downtown, and it was aimed at the cops. Okay, and I'm a chaplain for the cops. I love those guys, and I don't like, it just grieved me that even in our little community that stuff is starting to happen. I read about it online all the time, and it's getting darker and darker times. Somewhere along the line, the believer's view of the church became a little disillusioned, that it could be a maybe I will, maybe I won't, I'll try, those kind of attitudes. And this last critical point is one that I want to share that I hope will help you with your view of the local church. I believe that if people will get, if you don't remember anything else, okay, if you get this part, it'll transform your thinking. It'll change the way that you live your life. It'll help you to go from having to go to church to wanting to go to church. Okay, the point is this. One of the main reasons that people grow complacent, they get dissatisfied, or their view of church is sort of as an option, is because that they believe that the church only exists to serve them and to meet their needs. In other words, they are consumers. Okay? And I'm not saying you won't consume. I consume every time I come to church. I am blessed by coming to church. But when people have an attitude that the church is only to be consumed upon, then your view gets distorted. People that believe the church exists for them and to serve them, they come to the church when it suits them, and once they've had their fill, they either move on to another church or they simply come at their leisure whenever they feel some pressing need. Okay? I know, I won't get into that. In their minds, okay, church is not a place where they can live out their faith in a community of believers. Okay, and likewise, it's not a place where they really feel any meaningful connection with. Okay, except for maybe those times when they need a dose of religion. Or, you know, I get some people will come only when they need money or they need something. Many times we get that. I get calls every week for that. Not from people here. People that never move beyond a me-centered approach for why they come to church in the first place will invariably lead to their departure for one reason or another. Okay, your church should be one of the most valuable components in your life. Okay, just in our society, it has changed in the last umpteen however many years. But even if you watch things like, you know, we like the Waltons. I think we've got the entire set of the Waltons. Okay, now those guys, Paul didn't always go to church, but he knew, you know, but the point that I was going to make is that their church was a major part of their life. Okay, when times got tough, the church held an offering. When, you know, they were going through stuff, it was those people that would come and help them out. Okay, now I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor. Some of you are like, yeah, of course you're going to preach on coming to church. I practice what I preach. Amen. Okay, and I came to church for 13 years as I was being mentored, and for years in and amongst that, before ever being in full-time ministry, and served and did what I did voluntarily just like everybody else. Okay, it wasn't a have-to, but it was I wanted to go to serve, to meet those needs, to help those people. And in my case, my pastor and his wife were beautiful people, and we literally, I moved across the country 4 times, and I dragged my wife along 3 of those times, just to serve in that church. That's how important it was to me. Okay, I knew that pastor, I knew his heart, and I knew what they were up to, and I thought, this is where I want to be, and I'm going to help them in any possible way. And we would move to that community and get jobs and do all these things to help support it financially. But, you know, I'm the guy that's out there cleaning, and anyway, I won't get into all that. I'm just telling you, I'm not preaching hypocritically. Okay, some of you have been around when people come and go from churches. I want to end with this. You know the detrimental and sometimes painful effects that has on a body, on a family. Okay, people come and they befriend you, or sometimes maybe they don't, whatever, but they kind of get close to a few people and then they leave. Okay, sometimes I believe that is a result of actual sheep in wolves' clothing, wolves in sheep's clothing, okay, the other way around, where they actually came in with the wrong motivation. Okay, they intended to divide and conquer. Okay, they were sent as a messenger. The devil was using them, and they might not have even realized it. Most of the time, though, I think it's just by people that are consumers. They get a little frustrated, get a little dissatisfied, and they dissent, and they round up a handful of people and take them with, okay, and try to make that known. They try to get people to jump in with them. It comes from those self-centered motives. Okay, now this church started a little over 10 years ago, okay, and it was prompted by an unfortunate event. My wife's, we were pastoring a church in Montana at the time, and we got a call from Wyoming saying that John had passed away, the Leon's husband. And from that, we came right away for the funeral and to see if we could help out and do what we could. And before we left, before I left, I think Margie stayed here, and before I left from that funeral, I had already had three people ask if we were going to move to Rollins and help Leon and take the ranch and do those kind of things and work with what was going on here. Now, God speaks to me a lot of times, important things in threes. Okay, so I figured it was at least worth praying about. I had no intention of moving to Wyoming, really, especially Rollins, right? Okay. But as I drove back to Montana, I started praying about it, and I literally had to pull over twice because God was speaking so clearly about us moving here to start this church that I was bawling like a baby. I could not believe. It was almost an audible voice. I won't say that it was, but it was right there, where God is just speaking so clearly that it was uncontrollable tears that I had to pull over. Within a couple of days of being back in Montana, I went back by myself, and within a couple of days of being there, the landlord that had the church that owned the building that we were in as a church there called me and said, "Hey, I just leased out the warehouse to somebody. You guys need to be out by the end of the month." Okay, so we combined that church, consolidated it with another newer non-denominational church, okay, that was kind of across town or that same section of town actually, and combined it with that. And within a month, we were moving and living out on the ranch. Okay, and from there, okay, we started the advertising for the church, okay, in December of 2009. And in February, on February 21st of 2010, we opened the doors of the Oasis Church of Rollins in the Days Inn meeting room down the street. Okay, it's the Magnuson Hotel or something now. The guy that was the manager at the time was a Christian, and he rented us that upstairs meeting room for $25 a week. Okay, other hotels were in the hundreds and hundreds of dollars a week kind of thing. And this guy said, "I'll give it to you for $25 a week." So we started in there. The church started to grow. Okay, it got off to a good start. We had advertised, and if you look back there, there's one of the ads is even in one of the newspaper clippings that I cut out, and it's back there in the first part of 2010. Okay, and you can see that we started trying to draw up some excitement for there is a new church coming to Rollins. Okay, and the church started growing, but after a few months, I think it was in August of that year, things happened. People's jobs took them out of town. People moved away. This thing's happened, and all of a sudden, this church that was growing and seemed to be doing well went down to me, my wife, and two sons. And my sons were like 2 and 5, I think, at the time, so they weren't a whole lot of help, okay? If you know what I mean. But they were great. They were great to have there. Okay, so if you could imagine, that time in life was pretty difficult for us as a family. Okay, and I say that it got down to that, not just for a Sunday, 2 Sundays, 3 Sundays, 4 Sundays, 4.5 months, that dry period lasted. Well, we're still doing the same things. I'm trying to advertise, trying to do stuff on the radio, trying to get the word out. We're trying to invite people. We're trying to do things. 4.5 months of just my family. And every week we'd go week after week, and I would set up the worship, we would have worship, I would preach the gospel, and we'd pack it all up and go home. Carried it in a great big suitcase. Pretty fun. Okay, after 4.5 months, and this is prompted by my son Isaac, he wrote on his little card on when he started coming to the Oasis, and he wrote on one of his memories on there. He says, "I'll never forget when the man came into church after it had been without for so long." And I remember that guy that he came to the door, and he says this, he remembered the buzz that lasted from that because we had a new person, right? Okay, well, this guy came to the door and didn't really come in. Okay, kind of stood outside in the hallway a little bit, kind of leaned in. He was trying to hear what I was preaching. kind of stuff. And I said, hey there, come on in, you know, and got him to come in and sit down about halfway through the sermon and finish the sermon. And I'll tell you what, that was the beginning of the whole thing taking back off again. Okay, and the reason was because of that man's heart. Because he wasn't coming to consume, he was coming to serve. And he came and he found out, and within a short time, we moved across town. We got a building in the 204 Fifth Street. It was a storefront, great big place, and the guy asked if he could have a key. I didn't know exactly why, but I trusted him, and I gave him a key. And that guy cleaned. That guy made the place spotless. That guy fixed stuff. He shoveled sidewalks. He swept the sidewalks in the wintertime. That guy, and never wanted a dime. I would try to give him stuff, and he wouldn't take it. That's the guy that when I went to see Reinhard Bonnke and had hands laid on me down in Denver, he was the guy that drove me there, paid for my meals. I think he paid for the hotel as well. He just wanted to bless me, and that was his heart, and that's what started that whole process. Okay, now the church began to grow in that new location, but after about 16 months of being there, we were just starting to get things fixed up a little bit, and it was starting to grow again, and the landlord called and said, we got to be out. They had to use the building for a different purpose, her daughter or something, and so we ended up having to get out of there. Thankfully, we had somebody who had a partly vacant bakery at the time that we were able to meet in the interim. Most of the church was packed away in our horse trailer. Okay, and tucked in somebody's barn to try to keep the dust off it. But we set up and tear down kind of stuff and did what we needed to do for about a month or a month and a half or something while we were in that building until we got into here. Okay, and some of you remember a guy named Jeff Eman, okay, that came to church. He moved back to California, got reunited with his wife, praise God. Okay, and that guy started coming while we were at that bakery. Okay, and I bring up Jeff because he was another one of those guys, okay, that just had that heart. He just wanted to serve. He's the guy that built, when we got into that building, he built that sound booth. He's the one that ran all the wires. He's the one that helped me put this projector up. He's the one that helped me put this screen up. He's the one that replumbed some of the building and rewired it with him and Bob, put up a street light out front and put all the lighting on the outside of the building. They put in a hose spigot in the back of the building so we can do car washes and raise money for the youth group. Okay, that was just his heart, and never asked for a dime for it. He always just wanted to be able to help out and do those kind of things. But after all these things happening, I'm not, just because of time's sake, I'm trying to shorten it up, but so many other people have done things in here as well. Okay, and the building of stuff that is got done, and the painting, and the plumbing, and the countertops. Jeff built these countertops. Keith installed tubing for the swamp cooler so we could be cooler in the summertime. Okay, and have been up on the roof and helped with other things, been up in the attic of this place, which is kind of scary. Even one guy built this pulpit. Okay, and he was just a guy passing through town, him and his wife named Randy and Mary, and he built this pulpit for us. Just because. Okay, that was what he wanted to do. The church family came together and made all that stuff work. Okay, and when we moved into this building, the rent was $700 a month more than what we had been paying downtown. Okay, it was a leap of faith, and I went to God, and God said, I'll provide. And God did exactly that. Through the family of God, he provided. Okay, and now I believe that we are more poised, okay, for what God wants to do in our community than we've ever been. We're just right there. We're on that cusp, and it's just that the right people are coming in, and the right people on the team, and the right direction from God is happening. And if you look around the room right now, okay, this is your family of God. Okay, this is your immediate family. They say that you can choose your friends, but you can't pick your family. Okay, well, look around the room and see who God picked for you. Okay, because God picks your church family. God puts people in. He sets some up and others take down. Okay, God is the one that has done that. And these are the people that God has chosen for you to do life with in the kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we're grateful that you have done so much in and through this ministry, Lord, and I give you the credit for it. Father, during all those discouraging times, your love prevailed. Okay, during those times of ups and downs that happened in ministry, Lord, we were sustained solely by you in faith towards you, Lord, trusting in you. Your word says that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. And Father, I pray that each one of us this morning, that Father, we're not guilted into going to church, but we want to. We want to serve and be a part of what you're doing in our community. We want to be a part of what you're doing in the kingdom, spreading the gospel and reaching people with the truth of salvation through Jesus, the grace that you have bestowed upon us as a gift. And Lord, the power that you are able to use and operate in and through our life, Lord, we praise you for these things. And we thank you that you'll use all these things for your glory, for our benefit. But we get to shine that glory back on you, that you are magnified in our community and in our hearts and in this church. And Lord, we praise you and we thank you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.